All right, 6:50. All right, we're going to get started with the work session. I guess, Adam, most of this is yours. Why don't you get started with the updates? Updates.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pardon me, members of the council. I just had a couple issues tonight that I wanted to go over. One, there was a staff and council member discussion on we received a complaint about traffic on Bass Lake Road. And so Chief Rubbering and staff were planning to do a traffic safety enforcement project in the area off of Bass Lake Road and Orchard Avenue. There's been some reports of kind of careless, reckless driving and speeding. And then once the snow and roads are clear, we can do a traffic speed count in the area and how it works. So I just want to let everybody know that we will be looking into that.
That was primarily the Orchard area, right?
Correct.
And the stretch from Bass Lake Road to Brooklyn Center. Yeah, that I talked to that gentleman too.
Okay. And so the PD did reach out to the residents and discussing that as well to give him some information.
Good.
One of the other big ones, it's as Public Works is as well familiar with, and the council received an email from a resident, and I'm sure heard from some others regarding the recent snow event, which was, you know, April Fool's, everybody. I can have Mark add any additional details, but just for the public's information, you know, as everybody knows, every snow event's different, every weather event, and this one, because it included some of the warmer temperatures, it added some additional challenges. You know, it's also helped with some of the melting, but it gets more difficult when you have these conditions. Just to give everybody kind of an update of what went down. Public Works began plowing with plan to do full plow at 4 a.m. We ended up receiving 8.5 inches of heavy, wet snow. The cleanup obviously took a little longer than we were expecting or that it normally takes. Our plows were getting stuck, and we actually also had equipment across the city breaking, which was not, you know, is not always part of a normal cleaning. Obviously the priority was to clear an initial path so we can get vehicles out and then come back and clean up as we can. This one added a little trickier, as I was saying. Then again, the priority, we go to the remaining streets and alleys, the next day, trails, sidewalks. Part of the challenge also with the sidewalks is because of the softening of the ground, there's a higher likelihood it's not longer frozen, so we can damage the turf on the shoulders and the sidewalks. So we have to take that into consideration. And again, as I mentioned, on top of the plowing issues, Friday night into Saturday, we were dealing with power outages because of the freezing rain and ice. We had sewers freeze, storm sewers, as well as sanitary sewers, and so we were dealing with those. Then, as some of the council actually experienced themselves, storm damage. We had a lot of trees down, branches, so we're busy on top of that, cleaning that up. One thing to note on one of the resident inquiries was 46th Place. I just want to, for the information for the council, that section of the street, or that street is plowed by a different vehicle than the rest of the neighborhood because it ends in an alley on one end, New Hampshire on the other. So we can't take the full dump truck size plow through there. So it makes it a little more difficult. So again, this, you know, we thank the public, thank the residents for their patience as Public Works and the city trying to do our best. I know there were a lot of people who do appreciate it, and we're always trying to do our best to get the roads clear and make it safe for everybody. Hopefully going forward, Mother Nature and the weather cooperate more in the spring. Any other questions on that item from the council?
Yes, sure. I did receive an email from a constituent about, you know, just obviously we're going through and we're making just, you know, opening up the streets themselves. And they had people, neighbors that were trying to get to that opening and would get stuck basically, you know, long before they ever got there. And I wasn't in Crystal at 4:30 in the morning, but I was in a different city. And other cities had trouble with this snow as well. I mean, I mean, my frustration was like, I would see a truck come along and go like, oh, great. They're going to actually go through the neighborhood or whatever, but they would only go as far as to like the major business that was in that area, like Cub Foods, for instance, and it would stop, turn around and then go back the other way. And you'd be like, wait a second, you know, you're not, you need to go farther north, you know, I mean, to make a difference here. And I was basically stuck in the Cub parking lot waiting for another truck to come and be able to open up the street farther. So, I just, I noticed that there were a lot of trees that were down, limbs that were broken, and there was a lot of issues with that as well. I didn't experience any power outages, but I'm sure that that was a big case as well. So I will, you know, convey everything that you talked about here to the constituent. And I just know that it was a really difficult snow removal process. So, and I appreciate, you know, the staff doing as best that they can with it. So thank you.
Yeah. You know, I think what Mark said leading up to the storm was there's a huge range depending on the weather. It could be a little bit or it could be a lot, and we ended up with a lot. So very, very typical with this heavy wet snow that this kind of, it puts us in a bad spot, period, every time, in other communities as well. So good point. Go ahead.
So just a quick clarifying question, because I think we all got that email. did we plow a center lane? Because I was under the impression that we only do that in like emergency, like really stretch resources, and I didn't see that in our neighbor.
No, they roll in, they just start plowing the whole.
Okay, thing. That was my impression, and that's what I told the constituent was.
Yep, correct. Once they roll in, there we're committed to getting it done, especially with the large windrows we leave behind. So they just do the never ending circles.
Okay. Because I think what I also had the similar impression that morning, where I was like, oh, weird. Did they do a center lane? I was like, because I talked to Mark in previous events and I was like, they don't do that. And then I noticed, oh, it was just a lot of cars had kind of created a center lane.
So yeah, that was the, like, cars, the impression. That, and then we actually had some issues with, so the wings, if you don't put it on all the way, it'll leave it up. But it was so heavy that sometimes it picked it up to try to relieve some of the pressure so they could keep going. My funny story from that day involves Bert Orton watching him trying to snowblow his sidewalk to his house while I was out putzing around. Yeah, it was a heavy wet snow, and those are never fun. So I don't know if there's a lot of medicals, but hopefully people were just like letting Mother Nature do its thing.
Yep.
Definitely. Right. It was heart attack snowfall for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. All right.
The only other item I wanted to just give a public update on, in the council, there was an email sent out regarding the Monticello nuclear power plant leak. There is information on multiple websites. Both the state and Excel's website has some information. Bottom line is that there's nothing to be concerned about in Crystal. The plume was limited to, the leak was limited to underneath the plant, and that there, it's going to be about 9 months for them to finish remediating that. The staff has been in touch with Excel, City of Minneapolis, as well as the Minnesota Department of Health. So basically for the next several months, we'll just be continuing to monitor it and work with the different partners on that. But there's, because it's involving a nuclear power plant, the city has received a couple of inquiries. But there's nothing to be concerned about for the Crystal residents and our drinking water at this time. So we don't expect there to be any. But if anybody hears from anybody, please, you know, direct them to staff and we can put them in touch with the correct information.
So, awesome. Thank you.
That's all I had.
All right. New business, excuse me.
Well, I just got a couple other things that I'd like to
talk about.
Constituent issues, but if we could talk about them after the main meeting, there's about another email I received as well. So, and a phone call today. So
what do we got? We got 1 minute. Yeah, let's do that after. Any new business beyond that? Announcements we'll handle at the end of the council meeting. All right. Yeah, we'll hit that just before the interviews. All right. We are continued till after the council meeting. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to continue the work session.
Yeah, we can produce it.
We're ready. All right, John, you had some things that you wanted to bring up.
Sure.
The session. And that was under constituents' issues.
Correct? Yeah, constituent issues. Like, first of all, I did receive an email from a gentleman claiming that he was concerned about the 80% tax increase in this, you know, that he received. And I reached out to him and he gave the example of Clearwater, Florida, and that I should look at that mayor and how they dealt with their tax issues there. And so I did respond back to him regarding his initial email, asking if he was talking about the crystal portion or if he was talking about, you know, the various aspects of what makes up his property tax bill, including the school district and Hennepin County. And then likewise, I did go and look at Clearwater, Florida. They had an 8.5% a levy increase as opposed to our 9.5. They're also a city of 121,000 people. We're 22,121. Likewise, they are a major tourist town, tourist location, and so they have additional revenues that come from that, including sales tax. So I did point that out to him as well. And I also looked at his tax, proposed tax increase on the Hennepin County website, and it was fairly consistent with everybody else in town. And I tried to get him to respond to me and talk to me by phone, even gave him my phone number, and I've had no response at all. So that's the first thing. I'm sure we've all seen that email.
So can, point of clarification, he was comparing his taxes when he lived in Florida to what he has.
No, he was trying to show an example of a, you know, well-run city.
Oh, you know, yeah, it's not even apples to apples.
It's not apples to apples, and that's what I was trying to point out to him. Today, I also had a phone call from a constituent regarding the new housing on West Broadway, concerned that it was low-income housing and that we were going to have similar problems as that what occurred in Brooklyn Center. And I tried to reassure this person over and over again that it was not a case, and only a portion of it was, you know, for low income, and mostly that would be for seniors that are looking for housing in Crystal. And quite a bit of the housing itself would be at market rate, and they were, you know, so that conversation went okay, but it was not, you know, how would you say, ideal. But just if you do have phone calls about that particular building, that it's not low-income housing. It's a piece of property that remained vacant for almost, I think, 30 years, I think, if I recall correctly. Or as long as I've lived in Crystal, it's been vacant. And now finally we got something going on there, and that there's a new business going in behind it, a plumbing supply business. And that there was a lot of questions about that as well. And I went plumbing supply, and they were like, plumbing supply, plumbing supply, you know, and finally got here, do you have anything against plumbers or whatever? So it was, but anyways, there was that. And then lastly, I don't know if anybody got a chance to see in the Sun post that in the opinion section about light rail. Has anybody seen that opinion at all?
I have not.
Okay.
I think it was out of town.
Yeah. So if you might want to take a chance to look at it, it's, I think it does mention some things adequately in terms of, you know, the green line going all the way out to Eden Prairie, but I don't think it really compares well in terms of with the blue line here in Crystal. So, and that's my three things.
So. Did you want any staff follow up on any of those?
I don't think it needs to happen. Okay. I think I would like to hear back from those constituents first. But I did invite the person who was called about the new housing to, there would be an open house for the building, and I offered to invite them to that and certainly get a chance to tour and be able to take a look at what exactly was to be offered there, you know, rather than just up and selling your home and leaving Crystal. So,
right.
You know, yeah. So.
John, do you know the date of that open house?
They haven't even broke ground yet. So yeah, I have no idea.
But
yeah.
Were they going to have something last week on, or that was on Douglas?
That was the townhomes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we are moving on to interviews. We're going to go through the questions similarly as we did the other night. We'll use the same rotation so as to not throw any curveballs. And I guess we're ready for our first candidate.
Are you going to be David's question then?
Oh, yeah.
You get to do two.
Yeah, I will. Okay. David.
Or you could just do the first two.
You're the next. Because right, I do two then. Anyway. So you'll end up getting two. Okay. So we'll just go the same order.
Okay.
Trying to stay simple.
We'll figure it out by the second one.
I don't need to do three in a row. That's how it would look like if I did that. Nope. I will not. All right.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
We are going to, we have a series of questions. We're just going to go one by one around the council and ask you the questions.
Okay.
And that's going to be it pretty much. So let's start with, it's pretty much, a lot of these things are going to be similar to what's on the application, so they should be fairly easy. But we just, you know, for the people who don't know you, it's nice to, it's nice for them to get an idea as to your personality a little bit. So the first one's really simple. Why are you interested in serving in the Crystal Council?
Well, I've lived in Crystal for 25 years, and I've served on the council before. I enjoyed being on the council and serving, and I would love to do it again. So I plan on being in Crystal for a long time, and so I would just love being able to have the opportunity to serve again.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
Well, I've had quite a diverse background. I have a bachelor's degree in natural resources and environmental studies, and I've worked in environmental science. I also have worked in real estate for many years. I've worked in many nonprofits, and I now went back to school after I finished my last council term and got a associate's in data analyst, and have been working as a data analyst. And so I've been doing that as well. So just have a lot of different things that I've been doing. So I think all those skills would come in to work really well for the working with the issues that the council deals with.
What are the critical issues currently facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are some of Crystal's strengths?
I think some of the issues are the Blue Line extension coming in, and also just always working with roads and sewers and just the regular maintenance of the city. And then the issue of the annual budget and property taxes is always a big issue with the city. And then you asked, and what else were the strengths?
Or conversely, so
I think a big strength of the city of Crystal are our parks and recreation activities. I think we have a wonderful park system, and just the people of Crystal are a wonderful asset. I got to know a lot of people when I was on the council before, and there's just wonderful people that live in Crystal. But our park system is definitely a wonderful asset within our city as well.
All right. Could you please explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting?
Well, I believe that there should be taxes enough to pay for the services that people expect of a city, but that the taxes should, it always should be looked at in a way that they shouldn't get out of hand too much, but enough that the services are provided. So taxes are important. And I know that with inflation, taxes probably are going up to pay because the services have to go, the amounts have to go up. So it's always a hard decision to make, deciding if the taxes should go up. And a lot of that comes into just with the human resources of the city, paying for things like the health insurance of the staff. As those costs go up, taxes have to go up. So that gets to be a tough decision, but trying to balance that out with trying to keep taxes as low as possible, but also knowing that the services have to be provided.
Hey, Laura.
Hi.
Describe your experience in working collaboratively and building consensus.
Well, when I was on the council before, we definitely had to get work done to bring about like the solar panels that were on the city's buildings. So I did a lot of work to help bring those onto the city, as well as bringing about the issue. Was a big part of my campaign was to bring about chickens in the city of Crystal. And so I worked to get out a lot of messaging and worked with people to understand that issue. And then we ended up passing the legislation for backyard chickens.
All right. What suggestions or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen focused?
Well, I definitely think the city does a really great job already in the way that it puts information out through things like the way that it's putting information out on Nextdoor and in it's getting information out to the people that way, as well as just having time for people to come in and talk at the council meetings like you have the citizen input time. Those are just really good ways of getting information out to people and having people being able to have their input to this back to the city.
All right, last question.
Okay.
Just do you have any questions of the city council?
I guess, what is your time frame for hiring this position or bringing somebody onto the council? I know this is the second night of interviews. You had another night where you had other people in. So it's going to be pretty soon that you'll be bringing somebody on.
Yeah, I'll answer that. We have a work session next a week from Thursday.
Okay.
We'll deliberate then, and we're hoping by the following at the following regular council meeting that we'll be swearing someone in.
Okay.
On the 18th. So
great.
So pretty quick.
Great.
I mean, it was the longer version of what we decided, but it's still very quick. Any other questions?
No.
All right. Well, thank you for your time for coming in. Thank you for your willingness to serve again. And we will definitely be in contact with you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Laura.
Pay attention to number three. That's the one that kind of gets long. You might want to refer back to number three after it's asked. But we have that list of questions that are in front of you. We're going to go ahead and ask them verbally to you. Welcome, Mary.
Hi.
And we're just going to go around the council, and we're looking for just your comments in person. So first question is, why are you interested in serving on the Crystal City Council?
I'm a public servant. I've been involved in every community that I've lived in, coming from Duluth. I've served on many committees. Since becoming a permanent resident of Crystal, I'm on actually four committees. The very first was the Employee Review Board, then the Charter, and then MAC, Police Department, and the Inclusion and Diversity.
What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
Well, I was a human resource manager for over 20 years at the University of Minnesota Duluth. So I performed performance evaluations, including on the Chancellor 360-degree evaluations on my supervisor. I've supervised employees, civil service, and non-bargaining employees, and bargaining, absentee and Teamsters. And I was responsible for answering all concerns for the whole campus. That include all employee groups. I did investigations, sexual harassment, discrimination. I served on the Duluth School Board for 16 years. So I used to budgets, evaluating the superintendent, and dealing with many concerns in Duluth.
I'm here.
Hi. What are the critical issues facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
I think one of the strengths is your police department. And I want to say to your city council, I believe you guys went through the intercultural development inventory, which I trained employees at the university for that. So I applaud you for that. And so one of the issues that I think is an issue with racial relations. I think the other issue may be healthcare, schools. You know, a lot of people about the schools and kids who are failing. And then the crime rate, especially among young people. We just went over some data, the police multicultural advisory committee, and so there's a problem. We have a problem. It's not as bad as Minneapolis, but we do have a problem. And so one of the strengths, I think, are the neighborhoods. Like, I love the walks, the parks. I love the close neighborhoods like New Hope and Robbinsdale. Those, I love the closeness of neighborhoods.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Next question. Explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting.
Well, I pay taxes. So that's about as much as I know about them. As far as budgets, being on the school board, I approved budgets. I had a lot of questions concerning budgets. I also served on the, as a subcommittee of the school board, I served on the education, finance, and human resources subcommittee. So used to dealing with budgets from a public servant position where I would review what was presented to me, as you all do, and ask the questions that are relevant before approving them. That would be my process.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Describe your experience in collaboration and building consensus.
In building consensus? Okay. That's a good question. I think being the person that I am, coming from human resources, it was my job to build consensus. Looking for win-wins for both people if I can. That's not always going to work. But sitting people down and hearing both sides and trying to bring those two together is the best way. Just having a conversation with people. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Elaborate?
No, yeah, if you would.
Well, I don't think I can say much more than that. You always look for a win-win, I think, for both people. Sometimes that's not going to work out, but you have to listen to both sides and maybe pick the path that kind of serves both. Maybe more for one person and less for the other.
You have an example?
Let's see.
Sorry.
Why don't I say in my personal life, when I was married, okay, I think that I gave 50% where he maybe gave 40 or less.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's why I'm divorced.
One last question. So you're more like a hammer than a pillow.
Would I have to be?
Okay.
I mean, there are times when I had to be escorted out of the school boards because people, when they come up to the podium, some of them can be very nasty. And as chair, sometimes I had to be the hammer. I actually got criticized from one of the board members because her husband got up to speak. Well, no, her husband was on the board and someone got up to speak and was criticizing her husband. And she said, as the chair, why didn't you do something? So sometimes you have to be a hammer.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. What suggestion or idea do you have to make city government more crystal or more citizen focused?
More system focused?
Citizen
focused. Citizen focused. That's I don't know how to do this or how to go about doing it, but I think that we need to do better at getting people involved. I mean, going to community centers and meeting with people and finding out what their concerns are. And I say the same thing at MAC. I mean, I can get the data and we can talk about what the police should be doing, but I think that parents need to be involved about what they should be doing. I think students need to be involved about what they can be doing so that there isn't handcuffs or taking down to the floor. So it's about educating. And I think the best way to do that is just to get out or have these open forums where you invite people in to hear their concerns and to listen to what our concerns are, just to meet you, and talk, have conversations.
right?
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, Mary, last question. Do you have any questions for the council?
You know, the only question that I have is I'm going to get to know that. I'm going to study it myself if I don't get selected. Are the wards and how you came about the wards? To me, that's just really interesting. We didn't have wards or anything like that in Duluth. And it's really the first time I'm hearing it, except maybe in New Orleans they had wards. But
so,
it's interesting to me.
You know, there's a lot of answers. I can give you the most recent one. The most recent one is because we have different House of Representatives at the state level. So, for example, there's this corner of Crystal that has a completely different representative than the rest of Crystal. And that ward helps break up those sections, actually, okay. Kind of the precincts. I'm speaking more about precincts, but those are all within the wards. And the wards just define a specific area, which gives us an opportunity to have representation for those different areas of the community, which they could be very different in terms of what the makeup of that neighborhood could be. There could be a higher population of rentals in one particular ward, and they would have that representation for that.
Oh, so. I see. Like, I live in Crystal, but I can go 4 or 5 blocks and I'm in New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people can go about a foot.
Really?
Yeah.
I think one other quick point to add to that is we're a charter city in Crystal. And so that means that back when we were chartered, they made a decision, the Charter Commission did, that we would be a city with wards so that there would be geographical representation on the council.
Yeah.
A statutory city like New Hope, they don't have wards because they don't have a charter. They just follow the basic plan that the state lays out. And that means everyone over there on council represents the whole city. So you could end up possibly with everybody on council living in the same neighborhood, but this way it forces everybody on council to live kind of in a geographic area. So there's equal representation.
Right. They had districts in Duluth.
Mm. So similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And each ward is approximately has the same number of people in each ward. So it's divided that way. And so, I mean, the lines may shift a little bit based on population, but for the most part stays the same.
Okay. Well, I find that interesting.
Yeah. I think it's important. I live all the way south, and I wouldn't know what's going on the north side because my sphere of travel is like a mile or two in terms of shopping and what have you. I don't normally get up there. The only way I ever got up there was, you know, through firefighting. Otherwise, I wouldn't really, even coming into this job, I wouldn't have known some of the intricacies of the neighborhoods up there. But yeah, it's really interesting. I'm kind of glad they do it that way.
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next.
That's it.
Well, that was it.
any other questions or?
No, I was just really curious about the wards. Is there sections too?
Yes.
Sections.
So you're applying for a section, actually.
Really?
So this all goes back to the Charter Commission. They chose this.
Well, I'm on that charter, so I don't know.
And so essentially, in some cities, they have wards and then they have at-large. So it's people that represent the whole city. However, in Crystal, instead of having, you know, two people that represent the whole city, they had one person represent the northern half of the city and one person represent the southern half of the city. And those are the sections. So I'm also a section, city council.
Yeah, I see that section.
So I'm the northern half of Crystal, which is wards 3 and 4. And you know, whoever ends up in this position would be the southern half with one.
So the needs are of people in like the ward 1, ward 2, section 1, section 2 different from the other sections and wards?
I would say slightly so, yes. I mean, if you look at the northern half of Crystal, it's a very different housing stock. It's a different development plan.
How about the needs of the people?
Right. And a lot of their needs stem from their property as well. So, and also the makeup stems as well, because property values in northern Crystal are less than property values in southern Crystal and things like that. So, yeah, I would say there's difference.
So you're happy with the wards and the sections?
I agree. I think that geographic representation creates a kind of a better democracy in a way, because you're like, when I'm walking around, everybody, I kind of know my neighborhood more.
Okay.
So,
right.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in. Thank you for your willingness to continue to put yourself in public, and we'll be back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye, Mary.
John, I saw you skipped over that word that keeps haunting you.
I just had to change that question a little bit. Yeah. Collaboratively. I'm not sure if that's an actual word. I'm not sure.
Podium?
Yes. Okay. Hi, Terry.
Hey, welcome, Terry.
How are you doing, John?
Doing well.
Good. Good. Here we stand again. It's been, what, 6 months since I've been here?
Roughly, yes.
Now, this is for the plant watering job, right?
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. Good. Wanted to make sure I was in the right place.
We have a set of questions. We're just going to take turns asking you questions, just looking for your response from them. So we'll get started right away.
Sure.
First question is relating to your interest in city council. Why are you interested in serving on the city council?
Well, that's a good question. I think the city deserves somebody who is dedicated, committed, thoughtful, creative to serving the community. And I feel like I can fulfill those roles.
Okay. Yeah.
Hi. What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
I'm a business analyst by trade, as a professional business analyst. And one of the things that I've honed over the many years is strategic thinking. I provide strategic guidance to my clients, my customers, and I'm also very, very customer focused. And this day and age, a lot of what we do in business or in life is to pay attention to what the needs are of our customers, our clients, or our constituents. And as such, that's a huge concern and focus of mine. That strategic thinking, being able to be objective, ask a lot of questions around why is that needed, or why are you asking? What are we looking for? What problem are we really trying to solve? That to me are two characteristics or attributes of someone who can truly work to address the issues and find good solutions that are actually going to be achievable and rewarding and hopefully delighting whoever it is that's looking for those answers or trying to solve that problem. I'm trying to say that very succinctly. Brevity is not one of my chief attributes.
Okay.
Hi, Terry. What are the critical issues facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
That was a lot. Yeah.
It's number three.
Thank you. I'm reading it. Yes. I heard every word. Critical issues. You know, that's an interesting question. I don't know that there are any critical issues facing the city. I think there are a lot of issues. I think every city has issues and concerns. Economically, we have to recognize that the world changed 3 years ago. And as a result, businesses, communities, cities are all struggling with trying to redefine themselves with the challenges that we're all facing. Employment is always going to be a concern. And right now, the number of jobs that are available and trying to fill those jobs is a huge problem. I know that vendor and supply chain issues are important and are probably affecting the city, as they affect everyone at some level. You know, when we think about the economy and the changes, I know that budgeting is a concern. Now, from a business perspective, I know that businesses are facing big challenges around trying to fill their offices and trying to fill their positions. And that's going to affect communities, especially a community like Crystal, which is largely a residential community. And so I think from what I know, from what I see, those are probably the bigger issues. In terms of critical, you'd have to tell me. I'm not sure what those would be.
Thank you.
All right. Could you please explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting?
Well, from a philosophical perspective, public service is an honor and a privilege to serve the community, one that I think should be held in high esteem. There are limited resources in the world, and one of the jobs of a city council like this is to ensure that those services, those resources are distributed equitably. Equality is a hallmark of our Constitution in this country. And I think that we as public servants have to be held to a very high standard to ensure that we are truly unbiased to the degree we can be, that we are seeking a sense of equality and justice, and ensuring that even the smallest voices are heard and understood. I think that's, without having given us a whole lot of thought beforehand, if I were to start writing, that's where I would start. Taxes are essential. We think about the infrastructure that's required. And as a resident, as a citizen, I'm well aware of the value and importance of the roads, the water, the electricity, the basic infrastructure that supports the community. City design, engineering, those are all super critical components of a city. And in order to pay for those, we need to collect taxes. I would not want to rely on corporations to try and serve us with what they think or deem would be what we would need. I think that needs to be done from a citizen's perspective. So now how we go about deciding those taxes, that's a very important decision and a process that this elected body is very responsible for. And I see that probably one of the most important jobs that the council is doing. Policy setting and ensuring that we are meeting our budget and satisfying the needs of the community, financially or fiscally responsible. So I'll sum it up right there.
All right, Terry, describe your experience regarding collaboration and building consensus.
I do it every day. That is a big part of my job.
Done.
Yeah. As a business analyst, and again, I'll use that, my profession, I'm trained to listen carefully to what is being stated and unstated, and trying to really understand what problems are trying to be addressed, what problems are trying to be solved. As an IT analyst, I worked very closely between the IT department and the business that needs the services. As somebody who's worked for a long time in cybersecurity, I have to listen very closely to what the threats and the vulnerabilities are and what IT is trying to do to protect their assets, their business, and listen to business carefully around what it is that they need in order to be successful, to be agile, to be productive, to be prosperous. And those are two very different and opposing, some cases, sides. The easiest solution for IT and cybersecurity is to lock everything up and put it away. That way it can't be abused or hacked, whereas business needs access to everything. So working carefully and trying to work collaboratively, identify the stakeholders. Who here really has an investment? Who truly cares about the problems we're trying to solve? And then working closely with those stakeholders to understand, let's talk about the scope of what we can solve. Let's talk about the scope and narrow that down to something that we can truly understand and agree on. And then from there, build out the business case. Make it written and stated in a way that we all agree this is what we're trying to achieve or accomplish. So that communication is critical. And again, I'm trying to explain my job in a way. And doing that collaboratively then enables us to find commonality, places that where we can agree, and then recognize the places where we really don't agree and where we're really struggling, and surface those, bring those up and address those in the room if we can. Otherwise, sometimes we need to find ways to mediate some of those conflicts, of whether it's philosophical or whether it's, you know, resource related or in some other ways. And there again, it really comes down to listening, trying to understand what each side wants, and actually not demanding, but really striving towards concession. And if concession can happen, if we can have mutual consensus, then we've accomplished a great deal. I remember working, this is a long time ago, we were working as a nonprofit organization struggling with kids living in and on the streets. And we were having some challenges with a community that was essentially the early on of the gangsters. And we sat down with some of the leaders and just focused around what attitudes they had towards their children, and started from that. Rather than the place of territory, the place of power, we started from the place of, how do you want your children to see you? And what is the value of children to you, your children, and others? And that changed the whole tenor of the conversation from one of adversarial to one of a joint concern that all children should be safe, all children should be treated with great respect, mine and yours. And that was a profound moment in my life where I realized that if we can find a place of commonality where we can all agree on something that's important to all of us, there's a hope, there's opportunity now to find ways to solve problems, to collaborate, to see each other in a different way, in a different light. So that's, to me, how collaboration can work. It's how it works for me.
All right. Thank you. What suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen focused?
I thought he just explained that.
This is his question, not yours.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, John. Well, how can we invite citizens to be more involved with the government and the government processes, maybe is one question. Maybe another way to frame that is, how do we, in the role of government official, elected or appointed or chosen, feel more citizen-like? Right? When we're thinking about the things we're doing, what headset are we wearing? What hat are we wearing at the time? And can we wear different hats? So, you know, we put a role on and we play the role well. And when we think about citizenship and the community members, are we actually thinking for them or inviting them to think with us? So in terms of doing something, I think that comes out of that place where you find yourself in wondering and asking, what would someone else think about this? Right? Think about some of the folks that you've met out on the street, the folks we've met when you were campaigning, or the folks you've met right here in this room. Can you actually put yourself, to the best we can, in their shoes for a minute and wonder and ask well enough to try and answer that question, to try and hear it directly? So you can placard the city with posters to say, come and visit me. I think we've done that. I think that happens. And I think we get some people. But most importantly, I think they actually have to hear it and see it in our work, in our actions, in our responses. Well, yeah. How do we make it more citizen focused? We are the citizens.
You have any questions for the city council?
Generally, if I could just go around the room once and just ask just one question, right? What do you love most about your job? Start with Mayor Adams.
What do I love most about it? Oh boy. You know, for me, I think it comes to, you know, what are my strengths? What do I bring, and what can I serve with? Kind of like what you talked about. This is a service thing. And that's that at the heart is what I try to do. And my strength is generally in the financial realm, or at least that's what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. What I also like is exposing some of my weaknesses. I have learned everything outside of the financial side of it, that I have shortcomings, and you know, that's the whole thing about this council, is we all come with our experience, and we try to apply our experience the best that we can, and we run into a wall pretty quickly, each and every one of us do, and how we maneuver and learn from that, I think, is probably one of the coolest things. And I came in here with very few agendas, which I think is okay. There's benefits with coming to an agenda, but I was still able to find some place for my skills, for my thought process, and apply those. So yeah, there's really a lot there.
Thank you. So you've learned a lot about yourself.
I have.
And you've loved that.
Yep.
That's great. That's good. Yep. John.
My God. Well,
what do you love most about this role?
Well, this is, the profession I trained for, if you can believe that. So as a kid, I mean, politics was a big part of our daily conversation, you know, around the dinner table. Mm-hmm. And it kind of grew out of that. I mean, within our family, we're always very focused on the events that are ongoing. And the ability, I think, my best ability, I think, is listening. I think that I really try to hear exactly what the constituents are saying and try to apply that to my role here on the city council. And I think I have a really strong memory, because there's a lot of times there'll be issues that come up and then I'll have to like dig back and go like, well, you know, back 10 years ago, whatever. I mean, I'm really sad, right? And this is what happened, you know, and go through that part of it. And then ultimately, I always remind myself, it's not about what I want. It's about what's best for the city, what's best for the constituents. And that's the ultimate goal. And so what you're looking at is someone who trained to be a politician. You know, either my father discouraged me from being a politician. There's no money in politics, hard to believe, right? You know, and, you know, here I am. So
you found what you're doing what you love.
I do. I love this job.
You don't have to work a day in your life if you're doing what you love.
Yeah, if I could do this every day, I, you know, as a matter of fact, if I could hang out at the city all day long, it'd be great. Of course, that would be bad.
I think anybody disagree with you here. Thank you. Tracy.
I think just to simplify, it's that I like representing my city. I love Crystal. I want to represent my city, and I like being a voice, especially for people who maybe don't have a voice.
Yeah. All right.
Short and sweet.
Yeah. Thanks. Troy.
Actually, it's Forrest. Troy is in Jamaica, right?
Yeah. You're not city attorney. I'm not a council.
I'll be quick here because I haven't been on the council very long. But my entire career, I've been a public servant, more on the kind of the staff side of things. And I just kind of what you, Mayor Adams was saying in terms of service. I mean, that's really the big thing, is just kind of trying to give back. And for me, it's extra meaningful because I grew up like playing on the streets and in the parks here. And so it's really meaningful for me to kind of help give back. And especially when it's like, sometimes it's my best friend's parents who now live here alone. And, you know, they might have things to say about me being here. I think the person that was in their living room playing video games. But yeah, the big thing is just giving back and really having an impact on a place that had an impact on me. So that's a big part of it.
So the love of giving back is something awesome.
Right. I remember when I was campaigning, and I would say I've always participated in my community, many different roles, kind of depending where I was career-wise or parenting-wise, my kids. But that just sounded cheesy. And what I really meant, and after giving it a little thought, is it makes it better for me living here if I'm involved in my community. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing I love the most is making connections with people. Like, after it wasn't you who contacted me about the development on 36, and we won't talk about it. But that whole community of what, 10 different families that got together and trying to work on that, I thought that was awesome. And I felt part of it, even though I geographically lived a little bit too far away. Like last year, when your daughter was hurt in that accident, I think I was walking home from a council meeting and I knocked on your door to see how she was doing. And I never would have done that had I not been on the council. It wasn't just you. I've connected with other people. And it's actually a little surprising to me that I've made the connections I've had, or, you know, how they've come about. But that's what I enjoy the most. So
awesome. Good. Thanks. I hear passion in everyone's voice. Adam, do you want to? Feel free.
What do you love about it?
You just went through an interview.
Majority of my career has been serving the public. And that's the most fulfilling part, is obviously almost the entire staff, and I'll speak for everybody here. It's not almost the entire staff, but we are here to serve the public. We find fulfillment in our daily jobs. They're not, you know, every day is not fun, but when the high points do make it worthwhile. I've done two reviews in the short, I've only been here less than 3 months. And I've already done two employee reviews just this last week, today and last week. And both the employees, they like, you need to find more work-life balance because they spend so much time dedicated to their jobs, but they explained it as, I enjoy it. Like they actually get energy out of it, which great thing. As long as we keep that balance and, you know, continue that. But it's, I don't see myself going back into the private sector, because I enjoy making differences in people's lives. And it's sometimes the reward is, you know, just seeing the good things, seeing the successes. But I think that's the same, you know, we're all public servants for, you know, different reasons, but
it's all filler. It's nourishing. It's nourishing you. That's awesome. That's good.
Don't leave him out. No, this has been very good. I'll just say my name is Jason Hill. I'm subbing in for Troy tonight. I'll say, in the role of city attorney, that what I enjoy the most, and it kind of reflective of what some folks have said up here, I get to help the municipal government, both on a council level and a staff level, can be very complicated. Can be very difficult. I enjoy the vast majority of the folks that I work with, whether it's city council members or staff, are focused on what these folks have talked about. They want to do the best for their
city, their township, whatever it is. And being able to play a role in that, you know, I'm not a decision maker, I'm on the staff, being able to play a role in that and help guide them through some of those things is very rewarding. And I really enjoy that part of doing this work.
Awesome. Thank you. It sounds like you'd be an amazing group of people to work with and serve with. So thanks for allowing me to stand up here and answer some of your questions. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and joy. Yep.
Thanks for your willingness to step out and serve.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Right. Thanks.
Good luck on your decision.
That's going to be interesting.
We need someone to take care of a noisy dog.
So this guy is the dad of one of my best friends from high school, and I know him. I don't need to recuse myself.
Do they have like blackmail on you and say, I remember when?
I'm a nerd now. I've always been a nerd.
Talking about Greg?
Yeah. I'm good friends with Scott.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Distinguished audience.
That's kind of what that's what I kind of picked up. So,
all right, Greg Hood, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
We have a list of questions we're going to go through and ask you. They are in front of you. If one gets long, you can refer to the question if you'd like.
All right.
A lot of them are very similar to the questions that you filled out on the application. So first one is, why are you interested in serving on the Crystal City Council?
Crystal Council. Well, thank you for letting me stand up here. But interest in council, combination of my kids were raised here in Crystal community. They've grown and moved into their lives. I have the time that's available. And I think probably more importantly is the last number of years, the council is the closest representative to the people. And I think a lot of our most recent government with COVID and rules and regulations that this closeness to the people was most needed. And I know a lot of the duties that you do, or rather maybe paper stamping, or are not always enticing, but you have a vital role. I'd like to be a part of it.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
My background is, as far as working, I'm employed at Abbott Labs in Minnetonka, and I've all production manufacturing background. I've been a plant manager in a facility in Texas. Most of my last number of years have been in production management. And in those roles, you work with all the departments. So mostly as a production planner, I deal with other departments, which is what I envision you're doing every day in your duties, is sales, production, distribution, warehousing, and it's communication and follow-up and details, and that's what I can provide in a council position also. So, and if there's any manufacturing company that want to move into Crystal, I could nudge them a little bit with some of the things that I think they would be interested in also. So budgets, et cetera. There's a lot of all the fine details. So.
Hi, Greg.
Hello.
What are the critical issues currently facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths? It's number three. Multi-part question.
Thank you. Yeah,
everybody's struggling.
I think, you know, Crystal's done an excellent job. I remember going, when my wife and I settled in Crystal, this was 30 years ago, we moved, bought a house in 1993, but we didn't have Crystal on our list of towns to purchase a house in. You know, I think back even 93, they didn't have the, you know, it was somewhat computerized. So if you put in a name, the realtor would, you know, it would spit out the listings. Luckily, we happened to drive over the Golden Valley line just out on our own and found the home that we've been living in for 30 years. One of the first things I did when I looked at the listing was look at the price of the home and the taxes at the time. And I was nervous when my wife first pointed out the house, but when I saw the, you know, really the dollar value 30 years ago, you know, I said, that's, you know, that's where we're going to be. And I've since learned that, you know, Crystal has had kept that value for people starting out as first time, you know, or long time homeowners. Crystal's a good value and good people. So as far as issues, I guess, you know, we are one of the closest southwestern suburbs, you know, right next to Minneapolis. And I guess, you know, public safety is a high thing to be concerned about. Public transit is vital to, you know, a lot of the people in the area to get downtown. I know there's questionable issues on the light rail and whether it's economical, and post COVID, there's many questions on light rail as far as feasibility, but those are probably the main issues, I think, would be the economic well-being of the citizens and the safety as far as the, you know, crime and keeping a deterrence.
Excellent. Hello, Greg. Yeah, could you please explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting? Mm. And when I say public services, I'm talking about services the city provides.
That's, yeah, see, you know, I kind of come in here expectations that a lot of this has been worked through with previous, you know, council administrations, that, you know, I'm not really reinventing city management. So I'm not really kind of thinking a great deal needs to be churned up or turned over. Public service, you know, it's hard to equate, because, you know, I even struggle sometimes when we talk about light rail. There's a part of me that says, well, should upper Minnesota be paying for light rail in the metro area? And you can equate that down to even Crystal as far as, you know, who's paying for the service and who's getting it. But it's a delicate balancing act, because you've got, you know, the kind of helping hand that we all wish to provide. But at the same time, how much cost is going to potentially, if taxes raise up on a certain income level more than another, will you be driving those people away? You know, so there's a delicate balancing act that needs to be maintained. And I think the public services is more keeping a ear out to the citizens of Crystal and taking their advice as far as what are they saying. I have to admit, the last, you know, 30 years, probably the only other time I attended a meeting was for a dog park. So, you know, and that was one of the biggest meetings I think the city had ever seen, was when they were trying to get the Bassett Creek dog park. We had this room filled. And even back then, I had to chuckle at myself at how self-serving it was for the 60 or 70 people to swoop in to, you know, to show support for a dog park when all these other, you know, issues and events, you know, occur all the time. But as a kind of just raising kids, you know, that was my focus, and I expected, and the city did, you know, perform themselves quite well. So,
hey, Greg.
Oh.
Describe your experience in collaboration and building consensus.
As I mentioned before, with kind of my production management planning experience, that's all it is. It's a give and take. At least in my business, if something happens, and we've been using supply chain, you know, as a frustration for us for the last year, there's always a good like a silver lining that comes with any negative. If you can't get something, if something can't be produced, that means, you know, on this week, something else can get moved in and basically get the gain. And I think when you compromise and work together various people's, you know, positions, you'll have that give and take as well. That it just, it, in my mind, it comes naturally that you have to bend and concede points to maybe later in another day, you know, get your point possibly addressed, and all for the, you know, just recognize that everybody's working for the same, you know, crystal common cause.
Very good. Thank you. What suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen focused?
I kind of touched on that, I think, in my application, and I wrote it down. I'm from a small town in Northeast Iowa. And that's one thing I kind of wish my kids had experienced growing up, was life in a small town atmosphere. I don't know how you do that here in Crystal. I mean, I kind of laugh at how I've lived here 30 years. I don't know the boundaries myself when I'm in Crystal or when I'm in New Hope and when I drifted over the line. And it's such a difficult thing, I think. Kids, you know, being raised here and not having, you know, from my experience, miles of cornfields, you know, separating one town from another. And so I think, you know, the one thing I would try to do is have some kind of programs that would, you know, even teach kids at a, you know, early age, you know, what, where the towns are, where the boundaries are, and kind of develop a little more pride in, you know, I'm from Crystal, as, you know, something that can stand out. Now, the details of how to do that, you know, I'll have to huddle with you all next couple of weeks to get that straightened out. But that, I think that would be a huge thing, would be, you know, just getting community pride and actually maybe even just getting neighbors to meet neighbors. You know, again, 30 years, and I know a lot of neighbors are immediately around my street, but if I go, you know, think two or three streets east, west, I don't know those people. And it doesn't have to be that way. I fault myself for that, but it's a big city attitude of that's, you know, that's the way it is. You know, I have enough friends and people, I don't need to know them, you know, that's, and I think that comes from not having that connection I mean, even I have to admit, even you as council members, I think, can be very invisible. You know, nothing derogatory about any of you, but, you know, just the non-awareness that I've lived for 30 years prior of not being involved, just being, you know, using Crystal as just a residence and a place, you know, to raise my kids, family, and just kind of hope that the city is being handled properly, which it has been. But I'm trying to dance this line here, but it's an odd situation to have, you know, as vital and the good work that you do and the council does, and not to be known. I mean, we've got record attendance. You know,
record attendance. We do.
Thank you for being here. You know, I apologize. I haven't made many meetings.
Three times the normal.
Yeah. But so somehow, you know, I think trying to get more life to and notoriety. You know, I think all of your faces and mine also, and the Sun Sailor every week would be the best start. So.
Hey, Greg, I have family in Calmer. Where are you from?
Independence.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm sorry, where are you from?
Calmer. Yeah. It's just 10 miles west of Decorah there. So.
There you go. No, that's right. You wouldn't make the line there, but very good. Yeah. Iowa, right on 20. Highway 20.
Very nice. And you know, when they've done some major construction, I've had to drive back through there.
Yeah.
Got lost a few times. So.
Independence, we are our closest. We were close to the Field of Dreams, so we're trying to hang on. You know, even if it's 15 miles away, we figure that's close enough.
It is. Iowa, yeah. It works.
Yeah.
Right.
Last question. Do you have any questions of the city council?
Let's see. I guess I'll turn it back. What are the big issues that you're answering? Or I should have asked that first, and then I could have answered.
You're it.
That's it. That's right. But I mean, do you see, you know, Crystal as one of the big issues that is being presented to you or feel that you have to foresee?
Well, I think everybody has their own. I think for me, transit is declining in Crystal, and it should be going the other direction. I think that's important for all its residents, so that we can meet people where they're at for real, rather than just in platitudes. There's just so many people who are challenged with transportation, and it's a big deal.
I do kind of wonder about. I also had a thought. Recent events with. Should have been here at more meetings, but with COVID and the rules and regulations that were, you know, kind of placed on the citizens of Crystal, you know, many of them shop owners, to being, you know, being to decide who's essential and who can be open. Did you get many citizens coming in? Kind of asking, you know, what kind of relief they can get, or was that
most of that was at the state level? Right. I don't know how much Hennepin County really had to do with it. I don't think they had a lot, but most of it was really driven from the state level.
Right.
Do anybody disagree?
Well, at the time when I was in banking, we worked with the PPP, which helped enable businesses to retain their essential employees. Right. And for a period of time. So that was kind of an interesting process in terms of that application process, in terms of being able to get that funding to the businesses themselves so they could retain their employees, make sure that they would be able to make their house payments and buy food and whatnot.
Right.
Also here, we, you know, obviously we couldn't have meetings in person. So we, you know, obviously went to virtual meetings. We had to have special ordinances in order to be able to conduct business and be effective. I just think, it was interesting to, you know, to see how the city was run, you know, even though we were basically, how would you say, working from home, you know? So, yeah, it was quite unique. I do think that COVID has changed us and has had a big effect on us, you know, in terms of, you know, who we are and where we're going. And we still struggle with COVID to this day. We still have people that are getting COVID every day. And it's just one of those things where I don't know how careful you can be anymore. So, definitely it is a struggle. I don't think we'll ever go back to what it was. So
that's kind of my thought process is what, because I haven't heard much in the state about, you know, what parameters are will be set up for next time.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of needs to be laid out and talked about before we have another basically decree saying, you know, this is an emergency.
Yeah.
Because I think there's many people are going to have varying differences on what constitutes an emergency and whatnot. So it'd be a difficult thing, but, you know, where, you know, the state or federal and state decrees impacting on cities, you know, the city has a voice and you're it. So.
Yeah.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you for coming in. Thank you for your willingness to come in and put yourself out there. Oh. I mean, that's what it takes for public service.
And well, this was the easiest and cheapest way to get. I am a budget hawk, so I praise every one of you for doing the hard door knocking and expense and time. So,
all right,
I've dedicated one whole, you know, couple, maybe an hour.
There you go.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
That's good awareness. I'm not talking to you. Don't you wish your election couldn't be 1 hour worth of interview?
I've been through it and it didn't go well.
It would have been a lot easier summer last year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Probably more camping.
Okay, this is our last.
Last one.
So no work session this Thursday, but next Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. It's 6:30 next Thursday.
6:30, Jim.
Okay.
We'll so when is Crosby, Stills, and Nash going on tour again?
Yeah. It's the last hurrah. It won't be long.
All right. We're going to get started. We got a list of questions. We're just going to go around the room and ask these questions. Okay. Most of them are very familiar because most of them are on the application. We're hoping to get you off guard on at least one of them.
Probably won't be too hard.
But first question is, why are you interested in serving on the Crystal City Council?
Okay, I think as everybody knows, I served time on the council earlier and I've been out of here for 7-8 years, I guess it is now. And I got reconcerned last fall when I was watching the budgets coming through. The 2-year budget was a fairly high percentage, I thought. And I guess in the past, I kind of took pride in working on budgets and trying to keep it a little lower. And that was kind of my expertise. So that was probably the main reason. I think the other one is just looking at what's happening today. The public services are awfully important. Police in particular, you know, the fire also, because they're becoming more of a, you know, really the rescue side more than the fire side, I feel. You know, they're out working with people more on problems. So that was pretty good. And I'm kind of worried if, I'm sure everybody's watching what's happening to Brookdale in the last 6 months. You know, a lot of closings and we've got what I call downtown yet. You know, some fairly significant openings down there in a couple of buildings. And I think we have to be starting to think about that. You know, if light rail ever comes through, that's going to take care of part of the problem automatically.
because history has kind of shown when the rail goes in, the building, commercial buildings in particular, go up commercial and, you know, multi-residential. So those are the three things that really keep me going. And just I enjoy Crystal and want to try to become active with it again.
Thank you.
What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
Okay, I think right now, number one, my experience on the council and also with the city itself. I started in 1980 with the Park and Rec Board for 10 years and then got on the EDA and eventually went on the city council from the EDA. Yeah, I think it's just important to keep involved. It's obviously I enjoy the city. I've worked on most of the commissions, you know, in my tour of duty as either as a citizen or as a city council person. So, you know, I have a pretty good background on that. Like I said, I think my knowledge of the budgets and everything would probably be a help. I know the council probably used to be a little more involved in budgets, and it's become more, our city manager gives us a budget and we work around it and try to get it going. So, you know, put a little more input into that. I think those would be the big reasons why I want to get involved. And I think that's my expertise. One other thing that's kind of important to me is, and I found this on my first term is, you know, don't sit there and be quiet. If you don't ask questions, you're not going to know what's going on. And it's really true. I don't think you were ever with Gary Joslin, were you?
I was not.
You know, he was a professor over at the U, and one of his favorite ones, and you hear it all the time, is you can't ask a stupid question. There is no such thing. And when you talk, everybody knows where you stand, and I think it's important. You know, it's the, another old saying, you know, we might agree on everything, but we can really disagree on anything and still walk away, you know, with smiles on our faces. And I think I'm pretty good about that. I mean, I've been mad at times and most times not, but it does happen. But, you know, my job is to let you as fellow council members and mayor know what my feelings are. And more importantly, why, you know, why I'm feeling this way.
Okay. Hi, Mark. What are the critical issues currently facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
Okay, I think the big one that, you know, that I'm more, I guess, feel the best about is working on the budget.
Okay.
I think we're getting on the roll where it's been increasing, you know, over the last 7-8 years fairly significantly. I mean, we're looking at doubling the, you know, the tax levies probably every 10 years. You know, that's a pretty big jump. So I think, look at that. We have to be realistic. I went through the 2008 mini recession. And at that point in time, we were making cuts at the city. I mean, budgets were cut, and it took quite a while to work some of these items back in. I mean, employees were cut. And looking at today's paper, the new budget for the new forecast for unemployment is 4.6 by the end of the year. And he said that's a direct shot at recession coming up. So I think we have to be real careful on what we look at and how we do it. I think, like I mentioned earlier in my opening statement, I think the police and fire are awfully important. I think we have to support the police, you know, as much as we can. I think some of the new policies have probably gone too much away from police safety, and it's time to get it back. And yeah, I haven't heard any problems with fire lately, but I mean, they're walking up to a lot of houses now too, and you don't know what you're walking into. You know, feel pretty bad about that. And then just, again, being an older community, I think the, you know, economic development, both residential and commercial, is pretty hard. And, you know, in the past, we've done a lot of redevelopment and housing, you know, giving step-up housing for the city, which we've done some, but we haven't done a lot lately. I think that's important. And like I said, the city business infrastructure, I think we've got to start watching that, because that could just, I'd hate to see it snowball. I mean, that's it there. what do I see good about the city? A lot. I think one thing that we do is, you know, we have good neighborhoods. We've started the identity of, you know, identifying neighborhoods with parks. So everybody probably, if they're involved or not, knows what neighborhood they're in. Some of the neighborhoods are more active than other neighborhoods. I want to say nationally adult, but we don't call it that anymore.
Night to unite. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's one night a year, but it's pretty important to show our presence all the way and get that out and let people see what it's like. And I think those are the big ones.
Thank you.
It just, you know, it's a good community, and I want to keep it that way.
Excellent. All right, I have your next question. Can you please explain your philosophy about public services, like city services provided by the public, taxes, and budgeting?
It's a slam dunk, isn't it?
I think services are real important. I mean, you start at the top, the one we've talked about a couple of times, and it is your public services, the police and fire. So I don't think I have to go any further on that. The other service, you know, you've got your recreation, which, you know, everybody needs recreation of some kind or other. I think it's important that we still follow that. Obviously, my first 10 years in the city service was on the park and rec board, so I got a pretty good feel for that, and really got into the park and rec 5-year planning back in 1980, and it seems to be working pretty well yet, and I see it still basically in tune. You know, looking at the future, what do we have to do and how do we do it? You know, that's important. You've got another question that I got to remember.
Taxes and budgeting are the other.
Taxes and budgeting. Well, as I said already, I think taxes are on the wrong incline right now. And I think we have to look and, you know, if we have to spend the money, we have to. But, you know, when I looked at last October, the first forecast was just shy of 25% in the 2-year cycle. You know, that's, I hate to say it, but that's pretty steep, almost to the ludicrous side. We sound like the state that's got the $17 billion budget, and it sounds like that they might do that this year and not use the surplus. So just, you know, knowingly have to go after things and look at it, save money where we can. You know, that's getting harder and harder. I think on the infrastructure side, we're probably getting within 10, 12 years of actually having to start rebuilding the streets again. I think they've got a 40-year life cycle with one major retop in the middle. And, you know, I think 1995 or somewhere is where we started the street projects. So, and that's, you know, that's going to be a huge number this time when it comes around. You know, it's not going to be, I don't think you're looking at the last number, it won't be under $10 million per project. You have to watch that pretty closely. And then our maintenance, just keep the water going, you know, keep the streets going, sewers, it's, you know, we're not going to live too long without infrastructure. I think you kind of look at what's happening in California right now, where they've basically flooded out and they've lost their infrastructure. You know, what do you do without water? You know, you get tired of drinking out of a, you know, cup water bottle. So it's just very important there.
Thank you.
Hi, Mark.
John Feudman.
Describe your experience with collaboration and building consensus.
Okay. I think building consensus, like I said, I really think you have to tell your story. Tell as good as you can and why you do it and why you believe in it. And in conjunction with that, you have to listen to what's being said. You know, it's a two-way street. And, you know, obviously you're not going to win every battle. You know, you hope to win the war, but the battles, you might go down little ways on it. So I think it's, you know, you have to treat everybody with respect. I think it just, we're in a room tied together for quite a few hours a month. And most of it's pretty serious. When you come down, you know, you smile and you laugh, but it's a serious business. And we're trying to keep 20 some thousand people comfortable and safe and able to live here. So we have to keep that going. So I think the consensus, I think, is probably one of the strongest builders. And I think you got to be honest with everybody. I mean, it's a small group. Why hold back? You know, put it on the line. You know, I guess Pete Meinsma, who was probably about 3 mayors before Jim was there, he did that. And he said, that's the one thing he always appreciated me. He knew where I was and he didn't have to dilly-dally. And there was, you know, you're telling what you think is right. And but yeah, you still listen. I mean, it's just, you know, money is money, but you got to kind of feel where it's coming from. I being a senior, I don't see a lot of gray hair here. I've got some to pass around if you need any.
Mine's in the back. You don't see it.
You know, we are an older community.
Yes.
And I think it's important to you know, be able to speak to their needs and wants. And, you know, once you retire, no matter what you have, you really are in a fixed allowance. Like, short aside, I opened my checkbook today and one of my allowance numbers came in. It was $500 high. And I went, what the hell is going on? And I looked and it was one of the firms I used put the state and federal taxes in my checkbook rather than the feds in the state's checkbook. So I said, fix it. Number one, I don't want to find next spring. And if I have it, I'll probably spend it. Anything else I didn't touch on?
I think you did fine. I was just, maybe if you had an example, I guess, when you've worked in collaboration with someone, you'd probably give us a little story.
Oh, geez. There's all kinds of stories.
Let's pick one.
Most of them are good. We'll get one here. Yeah, I have to involve Jim on it. I just have to find the story yet. But I think we got going with when Jim first became mayor, I was on the fire board. And we had a few discussions that completely opposing views, I think. And we sparred a little bit for probably 2-3 months going back and forth. And finally, we just kind of came and we came to agreements. And it was, you know, this was my feeling. Jim gave me his feelings. And, you know, he came off the fire department, so he had insight that I didn't have. A lot of my look at the fire department at that point was also budget, because it was we were just come out of some turmoil with the management over there. But I think we worked and, that we disagreed often, I think it would be fair. I think he and I are somewhat opposing views on the political world. So we did it, but we worked and I think, you know, mostly we were pretty attuned to each other, and I guess gentlemanly would be the word. We never lifted our hands at each other, and I don't think we ever swore at each other. We got angry at times, you know, we both did, but it's something you learn to live with, and when the decision was made, whichever way it went, the decision was made, you know, once it's made, I think it's, unless you can really say it was a complete mistake. I mean, you gotta go with the flow. Hopefully you can control the flow and make it work, but not always.
Thank you.
All right. What suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen focused?
Boy. That's a rough one. You know, 25 years thinking about it. It's hard to say, but oftentimes we have an apathetic public. You know, you assume they think we're doing a good job. You know, assume's a bad term to use, but it's there. I'm not sure there's a magic, you know, keynote to get it going again. You know, you have to try to get all the different commissions working together, you know, have them get words out to their people. I think, we have good projects. You know, the Crystal Frolics is probably our biggest, you know, get together for the city. And it's, I think it's in its rebirth since the park was redone there a couple of years ago. And it's not the same old frolics that it used to be. You know, it's a new version of it. I don't know how the airport is going these days. It was growing pretty decently. And she makes my life.
Oh, no, I just.
Oh. I'm going, oh, something's going on I don't know about. But, you know, the larger affairs bring more people in. There's no doubt about it. The smaller affairs, you get people more like-minded, and they seem to pick a, you know, common denominator to work on. So, you know, it might be, you know, plants in the cities, you know, greenery. You know, it could be, you know, I heard earlier the business community. You know, we used to have a good business association, but it was really, the city facilitated it, but it was run by the businessmen of the, you know, it was Crystal New Hope. And I was trying to remember if Robbinsdale was in it too at that time. I know Crystal New Hope were together, and, you know, they had monthly meetings, they raised money or things. And, you know, it was a good one, but, you know, most of the guys that were running it have since retired. You know, the leadership disappeared and did not come back. And, you know, the city worked on it, but it wasn't a prime focus for the city. You know, the businessmen are the entrepreneurs, and, you know, they have to work together. You know, they know what they need, and they can come to us and tell us what they need. And we can work with them in conjunction, but it's hard. You know, we've got the crystal ball and a few other things going, and gosh, nothing really is like a strong magnet. You know, it's, I guess, baby steps.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Last question. Just, do you have any questions for the council?
No, I think not. You know, I just, you know, I'm here to offer my service. I feel pretty good about it. I have a basic experience, and, you know, that's always useful. So I think, you know, I'm not a religious watcher of the city council meetings, but I watch quite a few of them. And, it, you know, just, you have to go from where it is. You know, I just get to know you better if we work together.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in. Thank you for your willingness to step that out, back out in the public. And
thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, appreciate your application.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks. All right,
thank you.
Needs more money from Vincent. Come on, quick. It's 2 days.
All right. So next, a week from Thursday is when we kind of deliberate over our candidate choices. And I think the rest of the tonight it is kind of defining what the process should look like. I don't know, Adam, if you put any thought into it or what, or anybody else for that matter.
There's a ranking sheet, scoring sheet, I guess. So on our own, we should probably at least, you know, take some time to complete that scoring sheet and try to see if we can put down some ideas as what stands out, you know, like pros and cons, I guess, on each candidate. We'll get back together.
Have a conversation about that.
Yeah.
That is interesting. And that's very interesting because we've never done that.
We have never done that. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's game, but that's having a public conversation about private people.
So you want to have a secret ballot?
I don't know. I mean, what I'm, you know, this whole process of interviewing has been an education for us to get to know each other better. I think that's really kind of what has come, because most of the people ask, you know, what do we think? And I've heard things that I've never heard before from people I've known for a long time. And as we move forward, I want to see more of those conversations. So to your point about having that conversation, I love the idea on that basis. I think it becomes a little bit more hairy when we're talking about an individual.
Okay. So, well, all right. So
we just do like candidate A, B, but like jostle around, obviously, like we have a list of the names and then who's A, who's B.
Anonymity.
Yeah.
Forrest.
I guess I'm going to let Adam, you go first. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, a couple items. Since the initial slate of candidates, there was an interest in asking some additional follow-up questions of some of the candidates or of all of them. There was also, I heard from Councilmember Cummings today that there was a suggestion that he and I were discussing at possibly asking the council if there was a desire to narrow it down to another, you know, is there a desire to ask questions or follow-up questions of basically a second round, which could take place on the 13th and then the deliberations of, you know, 2 to 4 candidates. I don't know if we have 11 candidates. Is the council prepared to narrow that down to a single candidate based on the information that currently has? Councilor Idebo does have 3 questions that he had wanted me to send out to the candidates, the applicants. I did discuss this with City Attorney Gilchrist, and he thought it would be appropriate to have that go through staff, and then the answers, the responses can be provided to the entire council. But that does then beg the question, are there additional questions that the other council members would like to have? The council is not in a rush to appoint somebody. I don't think anybody wants to delay it any further. But they're both legally and from a pragmatic standpoint, this is something that is important. This is, you know, a very important decision. The council is appointing a peer for the remainder of the 2-year term that's left. So I guess the question is, is the council comfortable with, based on the information that it has now, narrowing it down to one person to appoint? Again, the council can still have the deliberation on the 13th with or without the second round and come to a consensus and make the appointment on the 18th. But this is an open meeting, open discussion of the, this is a lot of, if it was a candidate forum type of format where these are the questions that the council is now asking. And it is an open process intentionally, more so than any employment hiring or appointment. But that also, I'm not going to say it's uncomfortable, but these are your constituents as well as someone you may be working with, and you know they all still live here, so it's unique in every regard.
Well, how did they do it for how did you guys do it for the city manager? You had applicants. How did you discuss it? Was it not an open meeting?
We really had very little discussion. We had a process that was put before us by a consultant, and they went through and they did a whole bunch of different types of
video interviews
and I don't know, what do you call them?
Yeah, their resume. I mean, basically we
there was an IQ test.
IQ test, yep.
There was a personality style survey or interview.
So we had professional tools kind of telling us, and we were making our own choices.
So did you each write who you wanted on a piece of paper, yep, or how did that voting?
Actually, our consultant narrowed it down for us based on the conversations they had with each of us. And then those we kind of narrowed down. And then at the end of the day, we took that merit list and kind of did a blind vote, I think. Was it blind vote? I don't remember.
Well, yeah, you gave your preferences and you got down to our top 4 candidates.
So. We were, at the end of the day, unanimous in our decision, which was amazing.
I've been through this process 2 times before. So, and there has been discussion about each individual in a way in which it's not it's not like we're exposing state secrets or anything like that. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, you're basically looking for a colleague, you know, provide value to the city that can sit in that seat over there. And I don't think that there's anything more to ask. I mean, you know, I
would disagree. Personally, for me, I have like a number of people that I'm really impressed with. And in addition to that, and speaking with a couple of my neighbors too, like these are good questions, but they're very broad questions. Sure. And for me, when we're thinking about picking a peer, especially like for myself who just came off of campaigning, like so much of campaigning and interacting with the residents is about specific issues, right? And so I gave Manager Bell the three top questions I got when I was door knocking, which were blue line, you know, really specific questions about a question about the blue line, public safety, and then also transportation safety as well. I mean, those are like I'd say every door I knocked, one of those three somebody asked me about. Those are the things that at least in Northern Crystal, and I imagine probably most of the city, people really want to know about, and I want to know about too. And so I'd like to ask those questions to the candidates before I make my selection, because I haven't heard answers to all of those from.
Well, those questions are on their application. They when they applied and when they.
Not everybody answered questions about public safety, blue line, and transportation safety. Asking me to infer based off.
Well, how would you say infer? I mean, because they'll talk about the issues that they see that are important and specific to themselves, right? And what you're trying to find out is have them answer questions that are specific to yourself. And
These aren't questions that are specific to myself. These are questions that are very, they're asked in the candidate forms.
They put that into their application. When the application was, when they applied for the city, they thought specifically about why would they want to serve on the city council and what are the issues that they would be most passionate about in terms of sitting in that seat over there. And that's in their application. And the questions that we have asked them here is get more of a chance for them first to meet them and then to expand upon those issues or to talk about other issues that they may not have been able to include in their application. That's why the questions are general. We're not trying to drill down. We're casting a broad net and we're trying to see what we catch, right?
And I disagree with that process.
I know. And I disagree with, why you want to ask more questions. You're not going to get, I don't think you're not going to find anything underneath those stones. So it's already there. All right. Who wants to ask three more questions?
Of all the candidates, or are we only directing that in the event we have finalists?
Well, you're going to have, I don't think you have everybody.
We're not going to bring it down today. Unless you want to stay here until 10:30, 11, which I don't. I'd much rather.
You got to be fair. Yep. So if you're going to ask three questions, you ask three questions of everyone.
Mm-hmm. How do you propose doing this, Forrest?
How do I propose doing that?
No, I was talking to Forrest, like sending an email.
I was just going to send an email and just,
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, just to give a little bit of context of how some of this came about. Following the first slate, Councilor Radbo and I had a discussion. He wanted to meet one-on-one with a candidate. And that isn't a best practice from this type of, so that was, he and I had this discussion. I consulted with the city attorney. And that's how, if there were additional questions that wanted to be asked of any of the candidates, the recommendation of the best practice is to go through staff, have that as part of the process, to then reach out to the candidates, get back. And then also potentially open it up to the rest of the council if there are other, you know, solicit, are there other additional questions? And so everybody has the same information. Everybody is on the same page. It was just, it was last evening.
You
had provided, here's your top three questions, because you acknowledged that, you know, you wanted to follow best practice. And so then I have not sent those out to anybody. One, because I wanted to wait till this evening's slate was completed, so there to not have any confusion. And then at the meeting, Councilor Ivo and I touched base before the meeting, just right here, and now we have that discussion of what the process should be. So that was how we got to these additional questions.
Yeah, because I mean, essentially, for what I view these interviews, they're so quick. Most of the people filled these forms out. They're 2-3 lines. I want to know more. I mean, this person's going to serve the city of Crystal for 2 years. That's half of a term. And if you don't think I should have the opportunity to ask follow up questions, I just sincerely disagree with that. And I will leave my comments at that and let the rest deliberate. Because yeah, I think we need to do our due diligence a little bit.
Does anyone else feel like there's questions that weren't answered? I mean, do you guys feel prepared to make a decision based off of the questions that were answered?
I do.
Yes.
I do too.
I do.
Okay, then that's fine.
I just want to refer, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, just so everybody's on, again, on the same page. When the council gets to a point to make the appointment, which is not happening tonight, but when that happens, under the charter, again, the rules are the council to make the appointment, but in the case of a tie, so at any point when there's a motion, and there potentially, if there was a tie, the way the language works is then the mayor would get to make the appointment. Doesn't have to be any of the candidates. So just so everybody understands how the process would work. Now, when the discussion happens, there shouldn't be straw polls or anything like that, but the discussion of who the consensus would be comfortable with, that can take place. But when an actual motion is made, the way the charter reads, it doesn't, you know, if there's a failure, then there can be another one. But if there potentially is a tie, that's the way the process would happen. So.
How quickly can we change the charter?
Wait a minute.
I really don't believe that we'll end up.
I don't think so either.
I think we're going to come to a consensus. I really hope we do.
Well, we could avoid that by voting now when David's not here. There's an uneven number. That's all I'm saying.
Dave, I think she's trying to take you out.
And are we going to say candidates by name, or are we going to?
I like the idea of candidate A, B, C.
But point of clarification, ultimately, that's all data practices accessible, though. So, right? It'd be, right?
Yeah, and I'll admit I'm not the data practices expert in our firm. But
you would find out?
The presumption is, presumption is that everything's public. Unless there is any specific statutory exemption that makes it private, confidential, those types of things. My assumption would be that it would be public, but I'd have to confirm that.
So in other words, we would just at some point release who was A, who was B.
Somebody would have to request, and then we'd have to release.
Okay, gotcha.
Is that right? That's right?
He's going to check.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, I mean, a data practices request is what generates the obligation to respond to that and produce data.
Okay. So, yes, we can do that. That's what I heard, right?
Yep. It's another layer of.
Okay. I think that will promote some more conversation amongst us. And that's what that's what I want to promote.
Conversation by assigning each candidate a number or a letter or something.
Yep.
And then we can talk about them referring to their number or letter, correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep.
Okay.
Will we get those before so we can kind of make our own list and come in prepared?
Staff can provide those tomorrow.
Okay.
Also, there's basically their letter designation, if that's what the council would like.
Okay.
Sounds right.
And they're 11.
Something's going on. I saw you picking.
Well, you know, like I said, I've been through this two times before. So it's like, you know, yes, all these things have been, I've watched them, you know, being discussed before, and they've gotten people to sit in those open seats. And the business of government continues on without a hitch after that. So, I mean, it's so.
I think it's pointless. Okay.
Pointless to do this anonymously or no,
do the extra three questions.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's already decided. We're not doing
it. Yeah, but
will you keep up, please? That was just missed about 10 minutes ago.
I know. We're going with letters. I feel good about this.
Anything else left unsaid tonight? All right.
Hopefully we do not break the show record. That's the only thing.
That's right.
But we're close.
Yeah.
We're really close.
What is it, like 9 inches?
I thought it was like 4. But...
I was thinking,
oh my God.
Like, what are we talking
about? Yeah.
Snowfall for that.
I don't think I can take another 4 inches.
Yeah, I felt like it was.
We're adjourned.
Awesome.